Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Tom Anastasi's here. Tom is a good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member. He's back. Tom has been a business owner just like you, an entrepreneur. He's been a Small Business Development Center consultant. He's been a private consultant. He's an educator. As you've heard me say many times before, he teaches leadership at Harvard University School of Public Health. And he is the author of The Successful Entrepreneur, America's Dream Done Right. And he's our good friend, Tom Anastasi. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much.
It's good to have you back, as always, Tom. Hey, Tom, one of the things that I know that you've been paying a little bit extra attention to recently are some of the things that every business owner needs to know about when they have employees. And that is making sure they stay on the right side of all the laws, regulations, programs, and so that they don't get upside down with the government. Number one, they all want to do the right thing by their employees, but sometimes we're doing our best out there, and we just stumble into a minefield that we don't mean to stumble into. Let's help our audience avoid those things. What do you think?
Sure. When I worked as a SBDC consultant, I would often look at people's business plans. And they would sit there and say, well, for employees, I know I can't do all the work, so I'm going to have employees, but I don't want to make a long-term commitment to them, or I want to see if they work out right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay them as contractors. And so I'll pay them above minimum wage. So let's say they're going to pay them $8 an hour.
Right.
And they say, okay, it's above minimum wage. I'm perfectly fine. So if somebody works 30 hours a week, that's $240. And that's easy. That was on the business plan. And I said, well,
I could afford that.
And I can afford that. And that works out great. I can't afford more, but that's what I can afford. And so I said, well, okay. Well, what about matching Social Security? Well, oh, no, they're going to be contractors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about that. I said, well, what about unemployment insurance and workers' comp and federal unemployment insurance and what HR people call statutory benefits?
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that employers pay to the government on behalf of employees. Now, as employees, we all know about the matching Social Security and Medicare, because we see that in our check, but you never see in your check the unemployment insurance. You never see workers' comp, how much is paid, and that can be quite a bit. It really depends on a couple things. The amount the government assesses will depend on how many claims you have. The more claims you have, the higher it goes, and also the type of industry you're in. So, for instance, workers' comp is going to be very high for roofers.
Well, if you use any kind of equipment, if you're anything to do with construction, machinery, if you're around anything that could hurt you, your workers' comp is going to be higher. If you have an office situation, or retail, it's typically not that high.
Correct. And then one thing that's surprising is that salespeople, if you have outside salespeople, it can actually be quite high.
If they're on the road, if they're out there, you know, where people can run over them in their automobiles, that's true.
That's right. So what happens is that these can get to be pretty hefty. And people sit there and say, well, 25%, I'll just call them contractors. The problem with this is the government has set up the rules because they like to have these payments come into them.
Well, the point is that as far as the government's concerned, when someone works a unit of labor and gets paid for it, the government expects to get a piece of that action, for to go into the pots, the unemployment, the Social Security, all the other different pots that they're collecting, and somebody has to pay that. And as you know, Tom, that there are two sides. There's employer side, the employee side, and so the government expects to get both of those, and they expect the employer to collect all of that. And to remit it. And if the problem they've got, and this is one of the big problems the IRS has right now, is for when someone is a contractor, they're not getting as much money. Those people are sort of going below the radar with their income, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And so they don't have all those things withheld, like unemployment insurance and workers' comp. And the other thing is, as we all know, as an employee, you have your federal and state taxes withheld right away, and it's
right
sent off to the government.
Right.
As a contractor, you're only required to do that quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
it is very difficult when the way for withholding and taxes, for taxes in whatever the purpose of the tax, it's not so difficult to keep up with all that when you're automated and you got a system and you got somebody assigned to do it. But when you're doing it on your own, when you're an individual, and especially when you're that also presumes, Tom, that you're probably living pretty close to the edge of survivability, whether you're a small business sole proprietor or an independent contractor, and that money just gets away before the time it comes time to file for it. To father the and remit that money, doesn't it?
It does, and the government gets really depressed if they don't get their money.
They get ill. They get ill.
They do. We don't like that. But one of the things is that when I look at these business plans, these are of honest people who wanted to follow all the laws, and so they said, "Well, we're going to hire someone as a contractor before we bite the bullet as an employee." The problem is because the government really wants all holdings and all these taxes, they've set up the laws to have as many employees and as few contractors as possible, and all of a sudden they can be hit with massive fines and be in all sorts of trouble, and the tests are pretty simple.
Hold on to that thought, Tom. The bottom line, folks, we got to wrap up this segment, but the bottom line, folks, is even if you call someone a contractor, if you don't pass this test that Tom's going to tell us about after the break, if the employee doesn't fall in within certain guidelines, the government will determine that contractor that you called, someone you called a contractor, is actually an employee. And as Tom said, they'll come back, they'll get the tax, they'll get a penalty, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit more, including the how you avoid this after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.